You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
For the past several weeks, I've been talking about the I Am statements found in the Gospel of John. These statements, they help us see a bigger picture about who Jesus is. Each statement gives us a deeper insight as to who Jesus really was. But just like our marriage retreat, sometimes we're only acquainted with one another until we get in the same room together. It's the same way with Scripture. Our task is not merely to be acquainted with Scripture. Our task is to get to know God deeper through His Word, through prayer, and through participation with this body of believers. I feel much closer to the people who I just spent some time with. And that was only a weekend. So imagine if you spent time in Scripture getting to know the author himself. Not just a weekend, but more than that. Not just to be merely acquainted, but to be on a first-name basis, to be on a more relational level. Jesus, we know, is the Son of God. We know Jesus is God, and we know that we are His people. We are His body. But what I found is that sometimes we're only acquainted with the body of Christ. We don't really know it. And as I said before, and I know you hear me say this a lot, if we're not careful, we might simply consider this place to be just another social group almost, a place to come to on a Sunday instead of a place to belong. As I was listening to our couple share their stories, it reminded me that we need to know each other. We need that. It's not just something we should, it's something we need to do. We need to hear from each other. So for the next month, this month of April, and sporadically throughout the coming year, we're going to let you hear stories about people just like you in our congregation, members that are new members, older members, young, they've been here a long time. We're going to hear stories, so hopefully through our stories we'll be able to learn what it means to be like Jesus Christ. So today I wanted to begin with a new family to our congregation within the last year, and I wanted to show it now. So let's go ahead and show this right now. We'll begin with this.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Allen.
And I'm Mike Allen.
And these are our daughters, Ashlyn and Amy.
Hi.
Say hi.
Okay. And we've been at Grapevine for a year now.
I'm a firefighter for the city of Dallas. I've been doing that for about 8 years. And third generation firefighter. My great uncle was a fireman, and my dad and my uncle also are Dallas firemen currently. So it's somewhat of a family tradition, I'd say. It's pretty honored to be able to carry on that tradition.
I'm a marketing manager for a local residential real estate team, and I've been there for 2 years. And before that, I worked in the nonprofit sector doing public relations and marketing. Well, we met at Harding in a public relations class, and several years later, we reconnected through Facebook, of all things. So.
Love Facebook. Thank you, Facebook.
Thanks, Facebook. Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg.
So I like pranks, and I like a lot of jokes. I like a lot of laughter in our household. And so one of my great joys is messing with my wife. And late at night, as I was coming home from work and was able to get a rake and scratch the window, and scared her till she fell out of bed just about. It's rather funny. I enjoyed it. What drew us to Grapevine Church was we were previously members at a church in Dallas, and we just were not connected like we should be. And one of the first things that we noticed coming to Grapevine Church was just how incredibly close people were, and friendly and family oriented. here at this church.
You know, from the first time we walked through the doors, our girls just felt at home here. They loved going to Charlie's church, you know, children's church, and they made friends right away in the classes, and they were already just felt like they were a part of something here, and that was a big draw for us.
Couldn't ask for a better place to worship God and grow together as Christians. It's something that we encourage a lot of people to come with us, and in fact, we've got Cynthia's parents already have become members here, so we're very very excited about continuing to grow here at Grapevine. I'm Mike, and this is Amy.
And this is Ashlyn, and I'm Cynthia.
We're the Allen family.
And we are Grapevine.
That's great. I love that. I love that. You know, I love their kids. We don't have to play it again. I mean, it's good, but we don't play it twice. I tell you, Mike, Cynthia, I love you guys, and I love your kids. You know, to hear that little girl say, Mr. Scott, you know, it just makes my morning. And I know you hear me say this a lot, but I'm going to tell you, there are stories like that all around you, you know, and Ross is going to be putting more together just like that, beautifully, like he did. And stories are around you. They may surprise you. You know, you may realize you have more in common with people than you might think. Now, I know that sometimes people go from church to church because they want to stay under the radar. But I want you to know that at Grapevine Church of Christ, every face has a name. We're in the middle of a lot of big places, and it's easy to get lost. And I am committed to making sure that you don't get lost here, because every face has a name. And this isn't to embarrass you, but it's to let you know that wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in your spiritual life, your relationship with God, you matter to us. And we want you to know that as we gather here, we have a purpose in mind. We want to hear from God so that we can better know what His will is for us, His good and perfect will. We want to reconnect with those who are closest to us in a deep spiritual way, and we want to encourage each other regardless of how close we are outside these walls. My hope is that we are one another focused here. And this focus reminds us that we all have purpose, and this little flock of believers to which we belong has greater purpose when we are committed to one another. We are the body of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a little flock traveling home together. Through good times, through difficult times, we rejoice when others rejoice, we mourn when others mourn, we are connected, and that is important. One example is what Michael mentioned this morning. Our sweet sister Anna Mumford is in the hospital, and Ron Montgomery and some other people are there with her, and they're having church with her online. They're watching this online, communion and everything, and from her hospital bed. And so this week we had some of our kids do a project for her, and Shelly was able to take that to her on Friday. It's so sweet because that's all fingerprints. These are the fingerprints of our little kids. And so she was able to enjoy that. But you know what? She wasn't satisfied with that. You know why? Because she wanted to bless you. So she sent me two pictures that she drew with Mickey this morning. And she wanted to bless us as well. You know her love for horses. Blending in is not an option. And then sometimes a barn needs a little paint. I just love that. She wants to bless you guys, you know. And just by the way, so Anna, so you know, Mickey's here. I know you told him to come this morning. He is here, I'm telling you. You know, but we have other friends and family who aren't able to be here on Sunday. We have people who are shut in, who would love it if one of you were to go and have communion with them and take an iPad too. How great would that be? Because we're a flock of believers. We're people who love each other. This little flock cares for one another. Last week, Russell told us about what it means to be a good shepherd. Talked about Jesus as the good shepherd. Now, during our elder selection process last fall, you heard us talk a lot about shepherding, what they are and what they are not. A person is not a shepherd just because they think about sheep, or because they devise new and better ways to manage sheep, or even because they own sheep. You're not a shepherd just if you own sheep. Shepherds are who they are because they have chosen to live their life caring for sheep. We have shepherds in this congregation who are devoted to our members, to you. They think about you. They pray for you. They walk with you, talk with you. Russell reminded us last week, Jesus is the good shepherd. Let me read Psalm 23. This is the NIV version. This is a moment when we can allow King David to remind us what a good shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths, right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we usually have no problem remembering that Jesus is a good shepherd. I think the difficulty comes in remembering that not as Jesus as the good shepherd, but that we are his sheep. We don't like to be called sheep, do we? I mean, I know that it does a little bit to my manliness whenever it says, hey, you're just like a sheep. You know, sheepish is not really a good quality to have in a person. You know, you see all the people, you know, make fun, you see the images, or, oh, you're just acting like a bunch of sheep. Last week I heard someone say that you don't see a lot of tough men have, you know, sheep tattoos. You just don't see it. Hey, you look at my new tattoo, it's a sheep. I just thought that was pretty funny. Why do we not like that? Because sheep, they're not independent. They're not self-reliant. You know what? Sheep are fearful, they're timid, they're not too quick on the uptake. And these are not endearing qualities to be found in someone that inspire other people. They're weak and they're dependent. Did you hear that last part? Sheep are dependent. Sheep are dependent. So they need a shepherd. They cannot survive on their own. They have to be watched. They have to be managed. When shepherds would take their sheep from place to place, and even still, they have to take defense very seriously. Sheep have a lot of predators. I could go down the list and tell you all the ones that they are, but let's just say there's most every animal that has fangs, right? And men, lots of predators for sheep, animals and man. If you had a lot of sheep, you had to manage your defenses very carefully. So what do you do at night when the sheep have to be together and they're sleeping? What do? You let them go out and roam? No, you have to take care of them. So what they did is somewhere down the line, someone invented a sheep pen. A sheepfold. So if you were out, they would make a sheep pen that was about, I would say, you know, about 3 foot high with rocks and things. If you were out in the middle of nowhere, temporarily, you would do something like this. You would just find thorns, you would find some branches, you would do anything you can to make it as uncomfortable as possible for predators trying to get in there. Sheepfolds had one entrance, usually about 3 foot wide. Isn't much to it. You know, it's round, walls just high enough to discourage predators. It'd be high enough to where it would deter someone trying to hoist a sheep over the wall if you're, you know, a sheep rustler. Is that what they called them back then? I don't know. That'd be funny if sheep rustler is, yeah. When you came to a town, that's, I never thought about that. When you came to a town and you wanted to have a good night's sleep, you had all these sheep there. Well, a lot of times they would just go to a cave. In fact, here's one that they found. They'd go to a cave. There are several right outside Bethlehem, and I actually was able to do communion in one of these caves way back whenever I went to Israel. And so there's all these little series of caves, and they all had a little doorway. You see that right there? It's kind of dilapidated a little bit, but there's a little entrance right there. And so the shepherd would go, and they'd all put their sheep in there, and then they'd hire somebody to watch them for the night, so they could go get some sleep, or they could just participate in whatever they needed to participate in. But in the morning time, if there weren't any predators, if the things hadn't gotten way out of hand, they would come back, they would pay this hired hand, and they would get their sheep back. Sometimes there would be issues, you know, predator would come, and things would happen that were a little bit out of hand, and the hired hand might leave. This shepherd would come, he'd call his sheep. Sometimes multiple shepherds with multiple flocks would be in the same sheepfold, and they would each call their sheep, and then they would go to their respective masters. This is kind of the normal way of life. Now, one interesting point I wanted to make here about this entrance is that sheepfolds, they don't have a door. They don't have a gate. Okay, it's typically just an entrance. The shepherd would usually sleep in the doorway and would literally act as the main line of defense between the sheep and whatever else lay outside that safe place. From this perspective of the shepherd being the door to this sheep pen, he could see inside and outside the fold. Very risky place to be. To predators or sheep rustlers, I'll say it again, there's only one thing in between them and the sheep. Them and dinner is this shepherd. The shepherd who, this was his nightly responsibility. Remember, he's not just a shepherd because he owns sheep. This is a man who lives with his sheep. He cares for them. He knows them by name. Whenever they go into the sheep pen, he checks them out, makes sure they're all healthy. When they come out of the sheep pen, he checks them all out, each individually, to make sure that they're all healthy and that they're not sick. He knows these people, and he is sleeping in this doorway each and every night, and he is saying to anyone and everyone, the only way you can have these sheep is if you have them over my dead body. Talk about devotion and commitment. What in the world do these sheep have to be afraid of with a shepherd who is that committed? The shepherd is literally laying down his life for each of these sheep, each and every night. To the sheep, it's simply another evening. They may even be grumbling because they're not out. They're not eating like they want to be. But to the shepherd, it's a serious business. Because these sheep, they matter. These sheep are important to him. They're valuable. They are his life. So with this in mind, I want us to turn to John chapter 10. Turn to John chapter 10. We're going to read through this. It'll be on the screen if you do not have your Bible. This is what it says. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Now, one note to make here is that there was unrest in Israel. It wasn't just because the Romans were in power. It's because people were becoming increasingly frustrated at the Jewish leadership. They were burdened. They had an enormous weight, an enormous set of rules to follow. They were frustrated. No wonder they were massing in droves to anyone claiming to be the Messiah. Because the people, they were at a place where they didn't recognize the voice of the Jewish leadership anymore because the leaders weren't speaking for God. They were becoming strangers. So Jesus is talking to these leaders and they still weren't getting it. So he even says this in verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture? The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I love that. Jesus is saying very boldly, I am the gate. I am the only thing standing in between you and everything else that wants your destruction. Imagine this. Everything outside this sheepfold is a predator. Wants nothing but the sheep's destruction. Yet for the sheep in his care, he says he is their protection. He is our safety. He is security. He is the one who will lead us out when the day comes. And regardless of what is outside, Jesus says that he has us. So if we are sheep in this, in the center of this pen, with a God who is laying down his life for us to protect us from everything that wants us harm, what do we have to be afraid of? Now, this may or may not be anything earth-shattering to you. I'm sure that you've thought about some of this. You may be saying, yeah, I know. I know Jesus is my shepherd. I know he's taking care of me, but how does that help me in the meantime? I have real problems. I have some problems that are really scary. Granted, I've gotten myself into some bad situations, but I really don't know what to do next, and I feel like I am not in the pen with the other sheep. I feel like I'm all on my own. I want you to know, if you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, trust your shepherd. Trust him to care for you. I mean, do we trust him? Whenever things get really difficult for us or become frightening, do we put our trust in him or in something else? Whenever things get really, really dangerous, what do we look to rescue us? What do we look to save us, to be our safety? I mean, think about this for a moment. When things get really frightening, what do we turn to? When things are good, when things are difficult, what are we expecting is going to be there to keep us safe? Who or what do we think is standing between us and the evil one? And can you imagine what life must have been like for a sheep? Just imagine for a moment, if only they knew how many things were out to get them. If only they knew, how would they be able to rest? I mean, just imagine if you knew that everything outside this little circle was seeking your death and destruction and stealing, to steal from you and to kill you, how could you have rest at all? But I will tell you, with Jesus as our shepherd, there is rest there. There is rest when you trust your shepherd. And it's the same with us. We are in the care of God. We don't have to fear or worry that our needs are going to be met. In fact, when we trust our shepherd, we can rest because he is good. And I know some of us in here, we've maybe walked alongside other believers, and maybe you've just now realized that you've never really trusted. You've never really felt rest before. I've never felt safe or secure with Jesus as your shepherd, with what he says, what he can do. Maybe you're lost sheep. Maybe you're surrounded by predators right now, and I hate to break it to you, but sheep, they're not very good at protecting themselves. You can try all you want, but you're going to lose without your shepherd. The good news is that he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where you should be. He knows you are not safe unless you are among the flock that he cares for. He knows that you are not safe, so he's looking for you. He's listening for you. So why not today cry out to him? Let him hear your voice. call the great shepherd and let him find you, because he will rescue you and he will bring you to safety. He will lead you beside still waters. And if you're so worn out because you've not been able to find rest, he will refresh and restore your soul. That's what he's good at. He knows you. So why not call him? Let him hear you. It's okay. You're not alone. He's ready to find you. In fact, if he finds you and you call out loud enough, you never know. Others may hear you. And others may start calling out to him as well. There are sheep all around us, and they are lost, and they are surrounded by nothing but evil. And imagine your voice, your cry to the great shepherd could help them cry out to the great shepherd as well. Because God is here, and his son Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the gate for the sheep, the door to the sheep. He is our protection, our safety, our way to eternal life, and he will give us rest. Sheep are dependent, it's true. Sheep cannot go it alone. But the good news is that we have a good shepherd who is walking with us. I wanted to end with this. Let's all stand together. I wanted to read this last. This is the NRSV version of Psalm 23, and I wanted us to read this together to remind ourselves what kind of a shepherd it is who is caring for us. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Will you respond to the call of the great shepherd? If you are alone, will you cry out with all that you have so that he can find you? Will you let him lead?
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.